You had just talked to me about people being aware of the fact that pilots were flying these planes. Was there ever, did you ever get visitors or other people at the plant to encourage people in the war effort? I mean, like, I know in some of the plants,
at rallies and so on. I don't think at our plant. It was a small plant. Mm-hmm. It was sort of maybe a poor cousin to the larger plants. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that this plant was, the work there was just a certain type of work. And I'm sure that the building wasn't large enough to accommodate, for instance, say, a whole plane. Mm-hmm. So that's why we worked on wing assemblies, tail assemblies, and the cockpit, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't make too much out of us there.
So did you just assemble parts? You never, like, actually had a whole plane assembled there?
No.
And flown out?
No, because it wasn't that kind of a plane.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see any of the planes you had worked on?
Yes, in newsreels. That, and it was so thrilling.
Uh-huh.
That there was a squadron of P-41s, and possibly one of them that I had worked on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a marvelous feeling.
Mm-hmm. So you could actually pick them out in the newsreel?
Well, we knew. We recognized it was a very recognizable type of plane.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful little plane.
Mm-hmm. So you really had a pride in...
Yes, I think we all did.
Uh-huh. Were there any... you mentioned that they didn't have rallies and things like that. Was there... what do you remember, like, what the first aid or medical setup was?
There was a nurse,
mm-hmm,
in the plant, and I think one time I banged my finger and she put a Band-Aid on it, and
mm-hmm,
she had a little cubicle of some kind for we had first aid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know of anybody that was injured or fell or was careless. We were very carefully supervised,
mm-hmm,
because the nature of the work, it had to be exact, because, as I say, we had pilots in these planes.
Mm-hmm.
There was no room for error.
Mm-hmm. Did what kinds of things did Rose do? I mean, do you know generally, like, what her job?
No, not really, except I just remember how she jumped into action on about the car situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of a big woman, and she was very assertive, mm-hmm, and very domineering, and I'm sure as she went over with the men like a lead balloon, she took absolutely no nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she came to my defense, I don't know what she had to do about maybe some of the other girls. I really don't know. And you saw Rose once in a while, not so much in the work area, but perhaps standing with a group of supervisors,
mm-hmm,
in an area, and you could recognize Rose talking, maybe looking out over, maybe she was discussing the women's our work areas or suggesting improvements. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. How did you know to go to her, say, with the car?
Well, I think when we first came into the plant,
mm-hmm,
in fact, yes, when we first went there as a group, we, mm-hmm, were taken through the plant, and then we were taken to a certain area, and Rose came and talked to us,
mm-hmm,
and told us that if we had any problems, to come to her,
mm-hmm,
that she was available.
Uh-huh. So it was known from the start that she
that she was there.
And was she there only for the women, or as far as you know? Or?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was on the credit union board, too.
Mm. How did you handle banking when you were working on?
Did
the company have anything?
I know we bought bonds,
mm-hmm,
more bonds, and I'm sure I had a checking account at Farmers and Merchants downtown, 3rd and American Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when I found time to go.
Did the plant have any kind of special services around things like shopping?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Were there any clubs, like recreation clubs?
I mean, with the plant?
Mm-hmm.
No. See, you must remember this was a satellite plant.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very old building.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I believe it wasn't too long after I left there that it closed down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a sparse, it was just set up for work,
mm-hmm.
and not for any employee, anything to help the employees,
mm-hmm.
outside of just the strict union guidelines.
Uh-huh. So was there a union there?
Yes, and I think there was an option to join it.
Uh-huh.
But we weren't pressured.
Uh-huh.
And I did join, mm-hmm. just before I left. I think we were encouraged. And union representatives spoke to us.
Mm-hmm.
And told us about some of the advantages of which I've completely forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember that probably the best thing to do job-wise was probably to join it because the fees weren't that high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was pointed out to us advantages how they could, the more members that the union had, the more they could do for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And they particularly wanted the women. Maybe it was a propaganda thing, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did join the union.
Uh-huh. Did they speak to you right inside the plant or out on your lunch breaks?
No, I think that they called the women to a little meeting.
Uh-huh.
And it was, Rose spoke to us about the union.
Uh-huh.
That was it. Rose spoke to us.
So there was a meeting with Rose and Rose talked to you about it?
Yes, and a male representative from the main plant.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that Rose was the one that introduced him,
mm-hmm.
and then he spoke to us.
I see. Uh-huh. So he was from the union to speak to you about it. And do you remember which union it was?
No.
Okay. You join it and paid dues. Did you ever go to any union meetings?
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay. What were your expectations about what the union might...
Frankly, I thought it was the politic thing to do,
mm-hmm.
and I did it. I gave it no thought. Unions didn't mean a thing to me,
uh-huh.
because in the Navy, there is no unionization in those days,
mm-hmm.
No sense of banding together for any reason. So it was a new thing to me. In fact, I had hardly ever heard of a union,
mm-hmm.
and I joined, as I say, because I thought it didn't cost that much and probably the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So was that while you were still a riveter, or was that when you were working with the...
I think it was pretty early in the game that they approached us, probably within that first 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So it was an optional kind of situation, and they said you could or couldn't, and then did you waited to join, though, until later on? Or?
Yes, sometime later. Maybe I was reminded. Maybe there was a time period.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they made the presentation to the women.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I'm sure with that attitude, well, these are women and they may not last. But maybe they had to. Maybe it was part of the program for Lockheed,
mm-hmm.
to every employee,
mm-hmm.
should be, you know, that they should be, the Navy should, the union should be discussed with them.
Uh-huh. Did the union offer any special things for women? Since I was wondering if they're talking.
No,
about
not for women. Just
uh-huh.
Just as an employee. Period.
I see. Okay. Did now the whole time you were working there, you were living in Navy housing units,
yes.
and then driving.
Yeah, 16 miles each
16
way.
Miles.
Yeah.
And your housing was in there. Within Navy housing, say, was there like a commissary or
no? There was no commissary in those days.
Mm-hmm.
There was Navy Relief,
mm-hmm.
and Navy Relief and the chapel,
mm-hmm.
and medical facilities,
mm-hmm.
all located in the post office building downtown.
Mm-hmm. What was a typical day for you like when you were working there?
Well, of course, I caught up,
mm-hmm.
and probably had breakfast at home. And then picked up my passengers within the Navy complex.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove up to the plant, parked the car, clocked in, and being me, we got there early.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had a chance to sort of get organized,
mm-hmm.
and then clocked in, and then went down to our section, mm-hmm. and said good morning to Joe.
Mm-hmm. So you had, when you clocked in, did you have to go through a security gate or any kind of search or anything like that?
No, but we did go through a gate, and that was the only gate you could enter.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I wouldn't call them guards, probably they were,
mm-hmm.
but I had no sense of them being a guard, mm-hmm. just that we went through a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And we did wear badges, mm-hmm. With identification on it and a picture.
Uh-huh. Was your clothing a company uniform?
No.
There were things you had to buy yourself?
Yes, but we had to confine our hair,
uh-huh.
and, you know, it was just a sensible thing to do. I think we had to wear hard-toed shoes,
mm-hmm.
in case anything dropped on our foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and clothing that wasn't loose,
mm-hmm.
that was like pants and a shirt.
Mm-hmm. So you would go in then to Joe, and he would give you your work assignment?
And get started.
Uh-huh. And then you work...
And then there'd be a break,
mm-hmm.
we'll say in mid-morning, maybe two breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the lunch, and part of the lunch was 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then back to our section, went to the restroom and so on, then went back to our section.
Mm-hmm.
And continued our work, and probably another break in the afternoon, and then at the end of the shift, clock out,
mm-hmm.
go into the parking lot, get in the car, go home.
Mm-hmm. After you were home, I mean,
there was mail,
mm-hmm.
and that wonderful sense of freedom, and then household chores, and probably there were groceries, and. Of course, in those days, but just radio,
mm-hmm.
and I probably read some, visited, and then, of course, we had, I don't remember about our days off, I think that we worked a six-day week,
mm-hmm.
and so all we had was Sunday, so it was a very crowded time, and then just a matter of just getting yourself together and ready to go back on Monday morning, or whenever on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the reason that the swing shift was so good was because that gave us time for our banking and shopping or whatever.
Uh-huh. Did you feel tired at the end of the day?
Not particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Had lots and lots of energy, good health.
Mm-hmm.
And no.
Uh-huh. Did you have any social activities that you
Not then.
Uh-huh.
Except just the women in the project.
Uh-huh. So just with friends that you visit with?
Yes.
Uh-huh. But you weren't in any clubs?
I wasn't dating or anything like that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it wasn't... you had mentioned before that you were in contact with your family. Was your sister still living here? Or?
No, my sister was on the East Coast with her husband. He was also in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, they left for the East Coast in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when Pearl Harbor happened, she called me immediately and ready to come back to Long Beach to be with me. But of course... there was, as far as I was concerned, there was no, that wouldn't have solved anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother, my 19-year-old brother, enlisted the day after Pearl Harbor.
Uh-huh.
Because all of my family were crazy about my husband, Maxie.
Uh-huh.
He'd met my dad and my brother and my sister and my brother-in-law and family up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he'd be in Bremerton, which is in not too far from Seattle, in
uh-huh.
Tacoma, I would stay with family, like we'll say in Tacoma, and the ship was just a short distance in Bremerton. So he became familiar and acquainted with all the family. And of course, he was Italian, and he was from the Lower East Side in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
in New York. And he was headed for kind of a no-good life, you might say, in a way.
You mentioned something about that last time.
It seemed that I did, yes.
Yes,
then into the
line.
Okay, so the thing is that everybody was so supportive in the family,
uh-huh.
and that helped me tremendously. I received almost daily letters.
Is that family? Now you're talking about your family?
My family. Uh-huh. And then his family. Of course, his mother and father didn't write English.
Mm.
They were very, you know, Italian, as I say.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what his parents did or worked at?
Yes, his father had a vegetable stand on the Lower East Side of New York.
Uh-huh. So there, you had no way of really being in much contact with them?
Or? No, except that my sister had met them and had dinner in their home, she and her husband,
uh-huh.
just completely enthralled with them, and was able to tell me then what their apartment was like, what they were like, what they had to eat for that particular meal, and so I had some sense of oneness with them, and I wrote to them. And of course he had two younger brothers, who an older and a younger brother, who, they lived right, when one of them married, they sent a picture and so on and so forth.
So, were you in contact with your father at all during this period?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure.
Was he still living in Washington at the time?
He was up, kind of, you might say, the family house in Tacoma. And then my brother married. He was, December 43 or something like that. And his wife had just turned 17, and he had just turned 19, and I went up there by train and just disapproved. I just knew that marriage would never have a chance. They were so young, and so she was working they made torpedoes up there in Bremerton, Washington. So she was in defense work. My brother was in the service. And, of course, they just celebrated, like, their 37th wedding anniversary. So all my fears came to naught. But the reason that he enlisted was because of Maxie. He just admired Maxie so much.
Did, he was living up with your father then at that time?
My brother, yes.
Did you ever have any activities with your co-workers other than the women who are from the base? Or?
No, I'll tell you, it was such a busy time for me, such a new life. It was all I could do just to make that trip up there daily and work my shift, get home, do household chores, perhaps write letters. And then there was so much from the Navy Department that had to be sort of taken care of. And my life was just... all my waking hours were just absolutely full of activity, just from a daily living, you might say.
And so, was that, in the time that you'd spent during the day before the war, what were your days like in comparison to
that? Oh, I've kept diaries. I used to keep diaries, and it was so dumb. I remember... Oh, dear, when Maxie would, the ship would be operating. I still hadn't got quite used to that I was married, for one thing. And I had my very own apartment. And I used to go down to the dining store and buy a little thing. I used to keep these lists. Something cost 10 cents, something cost 15 cents. But it was an addition to the apartment. And I didn't mind painting the interior. And I never did really learn to sew, but I would sew at it, you might say. I learned how to knit, and then there were girlfriends, other maybe wives that I knew, and I loved to cook, so I would try new dishes. And there was a daily letter to Maxie, never let a day go by what I wrote. And my life was full, I thought very active, I was very happy, just as poor as church mice, really, but never really wanting. And being a Navy wife was new, and being in Long Beach was new, and I would just... Well, every day was just thrilling to me.
So, you were already getting used to being in a new area.
Yes.
And all of that. You mentioned being poor with Maxie, and it seemed that, when you're talking about it, it felt different to you from when you were with your family. And
oh, that was different. See, up there was almost... It was sort of deprived. We always, as I said, my mother always, we always had well-balanced meals. And so we had our milk and everything that we needed. But it was, there was nothing extra, you might say. But at least with Maxie, there was enough income where I budgeted, and I was handling the money. Mm-hmm. And I always had enough money in the bank. I always managed to save money for a train trip up home when the ship went up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the rents were never very high. And so...
So there wasn't that same fee?
No, there was always enough, but never any extra. Not mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. What did you plan to do with the money you were making at Lockheed?
There was so much of it, it seemed to me that I bought a car, we'll mm-hmm. say. And then I was able to buy some clothes that I'd never been able to buy before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up home when my brother got married. And I felt really affluent, but I was never, and yet I was kind of foolish with money too, but I'd never in my life had the luxury of spending money. I just didn't need it for something else, and I can't say the feeling. Mm-hmm. To be able to maybe, well, buy something that, you know, I didn't really need it, but just the fun of doing it
uh-huh.
was just marvelous.
So just going shopping. And
oh, that was a yeah. treat.
Yeah. So did you ever plan on saving up to buy anything major like your own home or anything like
no,
that? Or
no, not...
Any long-range vision?
No, I never dreamed I would ever own a home. Never, it never occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until my second marriage that I
mm-hmm.
bought a home.
Mm-hmm.
But I always saved. I've always saved something. Mm-hmm. Always had something put aside.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed having a bank account. That was marvelous, having an actual savings. And, of course, the savings bonds were being put aside. And I would say I wasn't foolish with money. But after I'd put aside what I wanted and needed, then the money left over was what I spent without a thought. Just was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So you had been working... getting the sea rations for that, you said that was about 6 months
mm-hmm.
of that. And how did you find out about this other job with Navy Hazard?
Oh, you mean the shipyard?
Yeah, excuse
yes.
me, the shipyard. Of course.
some of the other girls had quit Lockheed and started working at the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it began to occur to me that the trip was, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, it was civil service, a chance to get into civil service.
Mm-hmm. This is your old...
Yes, and it was it was considered in production, although I worked, I had to dress still with the slacks and so on and so forth. Well, yes, all of England did. But I worked in an office for what they call riggers, the rigger department. It's where they move ships in and out of dry dock.
Mm-hmm.
And the boss was a master rigger, and I went to work in his office. He put, after I was hired at the shipyard, I was sent over to his department for probably, well, I don't know what exactly, but he wanted me in his office. And
mm-hmm.
And Maxie, for instance, he was the one that I went to business college, I remember, when we were married. Whenever he went overseas, he always had a project for me when he was gone. Once it was, he bought a sewing machine for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually arranged for the sewing lessons. And then another time it was when he arranged for business college. So you see, I had typing and
mm-hmm.
filing and some shorthand, and that's how I was able to, or at the shipyard, to go into an office instead of into the production line.
Huh. So you, when he would go overseas, he would leave you with these things
yes.
to learn?
Yeah.
And now, where did you go to business college?
Downtown Long Beach. Oh, it's. I think they're still there. It's a very old business college in
mm-hmm.
Long Beach, and that I, right now I can't remember the name of it, but,
mm-hmm.
but I went there, of course, every day. It was school,
mm-hmm.
but he'd already paid for it. Another thing that Maxie did, he became very well acquainted with a, it's the Long Beach, a loan and jewelry company, downtown Long Beach on Pine Avenue, between Ocean and First, and in those days they had a tremendous trade with the Navy. And they sold jewelry, new and used, and but the main thing is they loaned. It was a hawk shop. And Max used to go in there, and he would look at something that he thought would be very nice for me that was in hawk. And he'd make arrangements, then he'd wait for the time period. So he gave me a, you know, lovely set of jade jewelry and a bull of a watch with 20-odd diamonds that I still have, and several pieces of really lovely jewelry. And that's, so, and then usually...
Was that the first time you'd ever had anything like
that? Oh, yes, of course. And usually he arranged when he'd be gone, if it was like Valentine's Day, he'd be gone, or my birthday and he happened to be gone, he'd have it sent, arranged ahead of time to be delivered to my home, and usually with a dozen red roses. So he's a very thoughtful, sweet person.
Did he ever explain why he had these projects set up for you? Like
yes, oh, I understood thoroughly. He always had a fear that I would become friends with the wrong kind of Navy wife and start hanging around bars or going places where I shouldn't go. And so he felt that by my being very busy, that I had no time for mischief. But that was part of the reason. And then he just liked the thought of someday perhaps I would work in an office, and he'd have a wife who was an office girl.
So he would have encouraged, you think, your working, or?
Well, not at the time. Well, there's no question, there weren't any jobs anyway, you know, particularly, but I think in the back of his mind might have been the thought that it would be nice if I had